Praise God. Turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 here this morning as we come to the Word of God. And my message this morning, it's the fifth part of our series, Spiritual Warfare. And I felt the past couple of weeks that I was just to go back and take a message from 1 year ago. And I don't apologize for preaching again a message I only preached 1 year ago. I feel it is very important, and I can't emphasize that strongly enough. My message this morning, part five of spiritual warfare, is pulling down strongholds. We're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and this message was actually part six of seven messages we preached this time last year. And if you remember, we were actually teaching this series on our Wednesday nights just before the lockdown. I only got to part seven, and then the lockdown came, and we haven't resumed this series, but we are gonna. Those first seven parts are very essential, and yet I had hardly started on that series. But I want to take you back to last year, to a year ago, and to preach this message again, because I believe it has such value. It is timeless, and I don't often do this. I don't often go back and just preach a sermon, but I believe it's absolutely essential. And you will remember, as we go to this, you'll remember what we dealt with, and it will be refreshed in your mind. But reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 6. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And then just one verse, chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Can we pray together here this morning? Father, I do pray for the Word of God. It is living. It is alive. It is powerful. It is dynamic. It is a sword that divides between soul and spirit. It is a discerner, a revealer, a scrutinizer of the thoughts and intents, the intentions, the motives, the dialogues of our own heart. Lord God, thank you for the Word of God this morning, that it reveals everything, that it has the power to pull down strongholds, imaginations, every high thing. Lord God, your Word has power to expose, to diagnose, and to scrutinize every single individual thought. And Father, this morning, I pray that you'd stir up faith, that faith would come through the preaching of the Word. You said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We want faith to come into our heart, to believe that we can take thoughts captive and pull down, totally demolish any stronghold in our minds, our families, or our church. Lord God, I pray that you stir up faith, and where there's been unbelief, that you would bring faith into our hearts as we preach the word of God this morning, that Christ might be glorified, that we might be conformed to him, that we might continue in the simplicity, in a single mind towards Jesus Christ. We ask this, that your name would be glorified this morning as we gather unto Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. My message here this morning is pulling down strongholds. Pulling down strongholds. And we're dealing with spiritual warfare. In dealing with spiritual warfare, a vital part of it is pulling down strongholds in your own mind. You see, if you only think that spiritual warfare has to do with binding, rebuking, resisting the devil, if you only think that spiritual warfare has to do with a apparition of the devil, some dark atmosphere in around you, or the enemy advancing towards you, you would be very mistaken. I want to tell you that the front line of this battle is your own mind. It's not outside of you. It's inside of you. That's where this battle gets very hot. It comes in close. It's not demons in you, but it is thoughts in your mind that become the front line of the battle. That's why this morning, I believe, it is so vital for us to hear this. Don't just think that you're fighting demons out there in spiritual warfare. You are actually fighting thoughts in here. You don't get any closer than that, than the very thoughts of your mind. And we are actually called to spiritual warfare with your own thoughts of your own mind. I've got 3 points here. My first and third points are going to be brief, but the second one is the most vital one. If you want to hear the full message, go back and listen it again. But I want to cut to the chase and really deal with the heart of this message. Point 2 is going to be so vital, and that's where I'm going to spend my time. But point 1 here this morning, the warfare we encounter. Reading in verse 3, it says, chapter 11, verse 3. It says, but I fear, this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, or just as the serpent, beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Look what Paul is saying here. The front line of the battle was Satan, was the mind. In the Garden of Eden, it was Eve's mind that was under attack. It was Satan approaching her. He is subtle. He is cunning. He is very shrewd. And he uses arguments, words, suggestions, lies, accusations. He is using verbalized words and arguments. What is he aiming at? He is aiming at Eve's mind. That is the front line of the battle. That is where the fight was waged in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't just an outward battle. It was actually a battle with the mind of Eve. That's where Satan came to. He came right to her mind. He was going to try and use her thoughts. He was going to bring suggestions onto her. And what does Paul say here? He says that is the example of the warfare in the local church. Where is the warfare in the local church? It's the realm of the mind. That is the front line. Do you know where Satan's attacking? We think it's through some wolf walking in the door. We think it's through some attack by the government or some other thing, or the worldliness of the pubs or the drugs in our city. That is not the front line of the battle for the church here in Limerick. Do you know where it is? It is the mind of this church. It is the individual mind of every person hearing my voice this morning. And so look how Paul, he holds up even the Garden of Eden as an example. And he said it's the exact same fight going on for the mind of the church in Corinth, the individual mind of believers. It's exactly the same battle. And why did he fear for the church? I fear for you that your mind should be corrupted. Notice Satan's attack is on the mind, to corrupt the mind. Do you know what that word corrupt means? It means to shrivel, to wither, to waste away, to spoil, to ruin, or to defile. Satan, as a serpent, comes against the mind, and he is seeking to corrupt the mind, to wither the mind, to actually bring it down to nothing from the simplicity that is in Christ. So he's trying to move you from the simplicity that is in Christ to a corrupted mind. What does it mean, the simplicity that is in Christ? It's talking about your mind here, because he's trying to corrupt your mind. He's trying to move you away from the simplicity that is in Christ. The word simplicity there means single-heartedness. The word means to be single, or to have your mind folded together and unified as one. In other words, you've got a single mind. Your mind is clear. It is directed. It is set towards Jesus Christ. And you know what? To have this simplicity that is in Christ is to have your mind folded. Every area of your mind folded together that is focused on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the desire. And look at Paul saying to the church and to the individual believer, I don't want Satan, what he done to Eve in corrupting her mind through the thoughts of her mind. She was moved away from the simplicity of Christ, of having a very simple, clear view of Christ. Do you know there's a warfare going on to get you away from simplicity in Christ? Do you realize the attack is on your mind? Satan will attack your mind with thoughts, suggestions, arguments. Do you know what he wants to do? Move you away from simplicity in Christ. The word also means sincerity, honesty, generosity. It is the opposite of being double, or hypocritical, or filled with guile. So it's having this pure, simple mind that is set on Christ. A mind filled with thoughts that are consumed with Christ. Since that's what Paul is dealing with in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and chapter 11. It all flows together here. When we read in 11 about this warfare for the mind, he has taken us right back to the beginning of chapter 10. You see, Satan can be the father of wrong thoughts, but it's our mind that becomes the mother, the incubator. I'm not so worried about Satan throwing thoughts or attacking the mind, but I am concerned about what you allow to be conceived in your mind. You see, Paul feared for the church. I fear for you as individuals. I fear for this church. I fear for the body of Christ across nations and our world. I have a sincere fear. Some say, oh, you don't need to fear about real believers. I do. I have a godly fear. I have a jealousy. I have a deep concern in these days when I see the condition of the church. Do you realize our world is under attack from Satan? We have never had an hour of propaganda like this. We have never had an hour where the media worldwide has been united behind one mind. Why do you think the worldwide media has become so united? Why do you think the same thing is being said in a remarkable hour? Don't you realize there's a spiritual force that is actually infiltrating the worldwide media and is unifying it, and it's targeted at the minds? Haven't we seen entire nations be engulfed with this propaganda, with this brainwashing, sitting daily and nightly watching the news media? whoever gains the power of that influence, of that voice, is going to affect the mind of this generation. And you know what? Satan suggests the thoughts, but he wants the mind of individuals to bear the child, birth the child, and to rear it to maturity. In verse 3 of chapter 10, Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Notice Paul is saying here, we do live as men. We live a normal life. We have normal things to go about. I actually walk in this world in my natural life. We do walk in the flesh in natural things. But Paul says, but I do not war after the flesh. The word war there is a military term. It means to serve in a military campaign, to be encamped with an army. You're not out in Civvy Street, you're on the battlefield. It means to be on active duty, in the field, doing your military service, serving your country. You're on the battlefield, you're ready to engage the enemy. Since Paul is saying here, although I walk in the flesh, yet my battle is not a natural battle. I am not fighting according to this natural a lifestyle. I do not war according to the natural life. My warfare and campaign is a spiritual one. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. We're not fighting a human physical battle here. Our weapons are spiritual and mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What mighty weapons we have. You are in a warfare. It says over in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 that we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And that in verse 4 that we have been chosen by him to be a soldier. You did not choose to be embroiled in a fight or to face Satan or to be in a battle for your mind. You didn't choose that. Jesus Christ chose you. He saved you by his grace. You believed on him. You repented of your sins. And then you get saved and go, isn't this glorious? I've been forgiven. I'm washed. I'm made clean. I'm a part of the body of Christ. And suddenly you find yourself in a battle. And you go, uh-oh, what's gone on here? I didn't ask for this. I wanted to be forgiven. I wanted to love everybody. I wanted to be in the church. And yet we find ourselves in a battle. Don't you know that God has chosen you to be a soldier, to fight a military campaign, and it's never going to end until you breathe your last breath? To be saved means to be a soldier. You cannot be saved and not a soldier. And if you're a soldier of Christ, you are most certainly saved. The conflict, the battle for your mind, it's all part of being saved. It's no wonder that you have fights, battles in your mind, doubts coming against you, thoughts arising. It's not surprising to me that you have found yourself since being saved at times in horrendous mental battles. It is no surprise at all. In fact, I would doubt that you're saved if you haven't had to fight for your mind. If you're an individual and you've never had darkness engulf your mind at some point, just you wait. Just you wait. John Bunyan, that old evangelical author of England, he describes in his books mind battles in his own testimony that you never want to experience. As a believer, he faced the devil, and the battle, the darkness that engulfed his mind was terrible. Saints, welcome to the battlefield. We are good soldiers of Jesus Christ. This is the warfare we encounter. We actually encounter this warfare, and 90% of true spiritual warfare is in the realm of the mind. It is a real battle for the mind. You see, we are in an intensive battle, and I assure you the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. God has given you certain weapons. What are the weapons? One of the weapons is found in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. It is called the sword of the Spirit. What does it say there? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God, the Scriptures, the spoken Word, the Word alive. Do you know what? It is a sword. It is an actual sword. We always think we're fighting the devil, but not always. It's thoughts in your own mind that the Word of God actually is used against. Listen on this first point in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 concerning the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick, meaning it's alive. It is powerful, meaning it has energy and power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Do you realize the Word of God separates between what is spiritual, what is perfect in you, what is regenerate and born of God, and what is of your soul realm, your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, all of the things that can be moved about. The Word of God separates and says, no, this is your spirit and this is of your soul. This is coming from God and this is just you, Keith Malcolmson. You see, only the Word of God can separate out and show you what is spiritual and what is soulish. Only the Word of God can do that. And you've got to know this in the battle when you're dealing with strongholds in your mind. The Word of God actually reveals what you're dealing with. Is it of God or is it of you? Is it of the devil or is it just natural? It also says in Hebrews 4 and 12 that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Notice it discerns thoughts. How do you discern thoughts? It's the Word of God. You cannot do it by your own self. For you to figure out what thoughts are of the devil, what are of me, what are from other people, and what is from God. You cannot discern that yourself. You don't have the innate ability. The Word of God is a discerner of thoughts. If you have a strong thought come to your mind, do you know it's only the Word of God can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart? Do you realize the Word of God is a discerner? That word discerner means a judge. Or it sits in judgment of individual thoughts. It actually scrutinizes your thoughts. It distinguishes or separates out your thoughts. Have you ever had a confused mind where you didn't know what is what is up, what is down, what is back to front? You can have a confused attack from Satan. Do you realize that the Word of God is a discerner? It sits in judgment of every thought. It distinguishes and it makes a decision. The Word of God says, this is of God, this is of the devil, this is of you. That's what the Word of God does. It makes everything clear. You see, the Word of God gives light for darkness, truth for deception. It reveals holiness in opposition to sin. It shows you what humility is compared to pride. The Word of God does all of this. And we know that darkness are lies. Wrong thoughts are built out of lies, deception, half-truths, and error. That's how the devil attacks your thoughts. But here this morning, we're going to think about thoughts. We are involved in a battle, and it's a battle in your mind. It is not a natural battle. It is a spiritual battle. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against powers of darkness, a real devil and a real enemy. You're already involved in it. You don't engage in it. You're a part of it if you're a Christian. But we're going to look at this in a bit closer here in verse 4 as we go to my second point. It says in verse 4, and pulling down strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. My second point here is the warfare we wage. Not only the warfare we encounter and have no choice over, but the second one, we do have a choice. It is our responsibility. The warfare we wage. All of us are involved in the warfare, but not all of us wage war in this warfare. In this verse, 4 and verse 5. We have four things I'm going to deal with here concerning the minds. Listen, Paul lists them. Strongholds, imaginations, high things, and thoughts. All four of these things are in your mind. And Paul is talking in these two chapters about a manner of thinking. Like Eve was corrupted in her thinking. These four steps are the process, how you're moved from the simplicity of Christ to having a corrupted mind. From having a folded over, simple, pure, honest mind towards Christ, and your mind is corrupted or wasted or it begins to wither. Do you realize there's steps the devil uses to move you on this path? Or you can move the other way to the simplicity of Christ. If you feel your mind's corrupted, if you feel you've lost ground in the battle, then here this morning, we can reverse that process and begin to make the journey back. In verse 4 and 5, Paul starts with the strongest and goes down to the weakest. He begins with strongholds, enlisting these four things. I want to turn them in reverse verse this morning. And I want to look at the warfare that we wage in our mind against Satan concerning our thoughts. I want to begin with thoughts, number one. Then I want to move to high things. Then third of all, imaginations, and fourth of all, strongholds. You see, these are four steps, beginning at the lowest, the weakest, the easiest battle, and increase in, and then moving on to the strongest. All of these four things are in your mind. They're all in your thoughts. It's not out there fighting the devil. You are fighting this daily in your mind. It's a very real thing. First of all, every thought, look at this verse, every thought, at the end of verse 5, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Number one, every thought, not action. It doesn't say bring every action into captivity. It says every thought. It doesn't say every word. It doesn't say every action. It doesn't say every work. Do you know why? Because out of every thought comes words. Out of every thought comes a decision. Out of every thought, all it takes is a thought that will lead to an action, a relationship, a decision. You have made decisions in the past. You never made it without a thought. You have embarked on doing things. You never done that without thoughts. You see, everything comes out of a thought. A single individual thought. And so it says here to begin, the war that we wage, I am going to wage war on individual thoughts in my mind. If you let all of those thoughts go, you're going to be in trouble. If you just allow the devil to do anything with your thoughts, you are going to be treated like a slave and a certain servant. You will be taken captive. What is every thought? The word thought here means perception, exercising the mind. It is a deliberate action of the mind where you are thinking. You're actually thinking. You're constantly thinking. But this is concerning thoughts that are deliberate actions, not your subconscious mind, not your unconscious mind. This is talking about deliberate thoughts. Every single thought. You might say, oh, but nobody can take all their thoughts captive. The Bible doesn't say that. It says take every deliberate thought captive. It's talking about that realm of where you begin to think. You're consciously doing it. You are actually involved in this. You can take it captive. You actually can do that. It's a deliberate act. I'm not talking about just floating thoughts. I'm not just talking about arrows fired by the devil. But I'm talking about thoughts that you are playing with. Thoughts that you are entertaining. Thoughts that you are conscious of. Do you remember in our series on the mind, the battle for the mind, that we said the word mind, or the thought realm, that the Greek and the Hebrew word for mind actually means the gatekeeper. In other words, your mind is the gatekeeper to your heart. That's what the word mind means. Depending on what happens with your mind, with thoughts, will eventually affect your heart. It all begins with the mind. What is the mind? It is a gatekeeper. It is a gatekeeper. In other words, it stands there. The actual Greek word means you can open and close. That's what the mind is. And you're to take every thought captive. In other words, you can stop thoughts or you can allow thoughts in. Once you allow those thoughts in and you decide to allow them in, they then begin going down into your heart. But you know what? I don't have control over thoughts going through my mind. Neither do you. If you're all frustrated because you go, I get thoughts coming and they're horrendous. That does not mean that you don't have victory over thoughts. You see, once when I was preaching in Scotland, I only had this once in my life. I knew it was demonic. As I was preaching, blasphemy started to come into my mind. The only time in my whole life. And I almost felt like covering my mouth. I was scared the blasphemies. I mean, blaspheme in the name of God. It wasn't natural. It wasn't normal. The whole way through preaching, I was scared that one of those words would slip out of my mouth. Do you know what? I couldn't stop the thoughts coming. I can't stop the fiery darts. My mom, when I was just a young boy, my mom used to teach me. She said, son, listen to me. You can't stop the birds flying over your head. They're going to do it. And sometimes they leave a message. But you can stop them building a nest in your hair. I've never seen anyone with a nest in their hair. And you know what? As a Christian, that sometimes those thoughts are a great burden to me. They hurt me. They grieve my spirit. They torment my mind. But saints, that doesn't mean that you've lost the battle. What it says here, wage a good warfare. It's not those thoughts passing through. I'm talking about those thoughts, those suggestions, ideas, information that you allow into your thought. Your mind is the gatekeeper. Take every thought captive. You're commanded to do that. Do you realize this is where strongholds begin? It begins with one thought. Maybe you find you've got a stronghold somewhere in your mind. It's in your mind. It paralyzes you. It cripples you. It hinders you. It stops you. Do you know where it began? It began with just one thought. You could actually trace back in your life to one thought, one singular thought. You tolerated it. You accepted it. You embraced it as your own. The devil dropped it in your mind. The devil promoted it and offered it. But you know what? You took it in and become its mother. You begin to incubate it. You begin to raise it. You began to nurture it. It didn't happen in one day. Or in 1 week, or in 1 month. I'm talking about years of this. You begin to cultivate it. Suddenly it becomes a stronghold. But you know what? It began here with just one simple thought. How does the devil build a stronghold? Piece by piece. Brick by brick. Thought by thought. You see, that's how the devil wages a war against you. It's not everything all in a wonder. He just drops a thought. It comes again. It comes again. It comes again. Are you going to accept that individual thought? Are you just going to allow him to begin building something that eventually paralyzes you in your Christian life? I'm not talking about demonized Christians. I'm not talking about can a Christian have demons. I don't believe that. But I assure you, you can be crippled in your Christian life through a manner of thinking that leads to a stronghold. Just building process by process with the purpose of keeping you locked in as a prisoner. Maybe it's through fear and perceptions which are not real. It's all in your mind. I told you before about how I got stuck in a wasp's nest when I was just young, 8, 9 years old, I'm not sure. And as I walked up the bank, I walked into a wasp nest. I mean, there are hundreds of them around me. I was watching it straight in front. Hundreds of them going in, hundreds coming out. And I froze in the spot. I mean, I was shaken with fear. I was paralyzed. I began to weep. I was scared to weep, lest they sting me. My cousin, my very helpful cousin, stood at the top of the bank and laughed at me. He was much older than me. He said, just step out of it. And I went, I can't. He said, just step out of it. They laughed more. And he said, they won't sting you. Step out of it. I went, I can't. They're going to sting me. Do you know, I stood there and he laughed so much he had to come and help me. He grabbed a hold of me, pulled me out. Did I get stung? No. Do you know what kept me? It wasn't the wasps keeping me there. It really wasn't. It was that mind. It was one thought that said, they'll sting me if I dare to move. I cannot get out of this. I was paralyzed while my cousin laughed at me. He had to come and rescue me. Thank God I'd still be there this morning if he hadn't pulled me out of that. Do you see how fears can grip you? Do you see how doubts can do that? They're not built overnight. But it takes time, years of you accepting them. What does it say? Every thought we're to bring into captivity. Every single thought. You might think they're innocent. They're not that big a deal. It's a sinful thought. It's a thought of doubt. But it doesn't matter. I assure you it does. You're to lead every thought, bringing it into captivity. What does that mean? You're to lead it into captivity. It's your responsibility. There's no point praying about, God, will you remove these thoughts? No point doing that. You are to bring them into captivity. Every individual thought, you are to bring it. You're to watch over it. You're to scrutinize it. You're to make sure. Do you know what the Greek word for to bring into captivity means? It means to lead it into captivity, to take it personally into captivity, at the point of a spear. It's another military term. In other words, in ancient days, you'd have your spear. You've got it in the back of the individual thought. And the poor little thought says, but I'm only one little thought, don't worry about me. No, I am taking you into captivity. At the point of a spear. You're commanded to do that. You're to make a captive of that thought. You're to make a prisoner of war out of it. When I was in the army, the first thing you done when you set up a camp was to put out guards. Nobody got into that camp without coming through the guard. There was always a guard who said, halt, who goes there? Every person got checked. You could be a 5-star general. You could be the most important person of that generation. You will not get into that camp without coming through that guard. We would shout, halt, who goes there? You need the right password. Doesn't matter what rank in the army you have. You can't pull rank on me. If you don't have the right password, you're not getting in. You can't threaten me. You can't intimidate me. I wouldn't get court-martialed. I'd just say, if you don't have the password, sorry, sir. I'm giving you respect. You are not getting in here. We need to be like that with the thoughts. We need to cage them like a little bird. I at times have had my window open in this office. A little bird got in. I had fun trying to catch it. I dare not leave it there. One bird is going to do a lot of damage in this study of mine. My books are too precious for that. No little sparrow is going to be left in this room. I'm going to work and labor, chase it. I'm going to do everything until I get it out of this room. But I'm not letting that little sparrow there. We need to do the same with our thoughts. Bring it under control. We need to conquer it. Bring it into submission. Force it into subjection. Oh, I don't like doing that. This is war. We are at war. If only you realize how dangerous thoughts are. Thoughts are not always your friends. You better make sure you know what that thought is. Who it came from. Is it a carnal Christian? Is it a sinner that is planting thoughts in your mind and you're accepting them and then they're coming out of your mouth? Is it from Satan himself to cripple you and to paralyze you? You better be very careful or you're going to find yourself, either you will take thoughts captive or those thoughts will take you captive. It says take them into captive to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. In other words, obedience to Christ. Every thought has to become obedient to the person of Jesus Christ. The word obedience means to be in attentive hearkening, to be in submission, to obey, or to become compliant. Do you realize obedience to Christ is obedience to the Word of God? That's why the Bible is a weapon. It's a weapon. You know, every thought, you're detested by this book. Don't let thoughts run rampant in your mind, or you're a terrible fool. It'll lead you to a stronghold in your mind, and you'll go, I can't get free of this. It begins with the thought, you'll say, it doesn't matter. Oh yes, it does. You better take it captive as a prisoner. March it to the person of Christ, and make it bow at the feet of Jesus, and say, you're going to become submissive, you're going to listen to him, you're going to listen to the word of God. You see, this doesn't happen overnight. It's progressive. It's a discipline. It doesn't just happen in 4 days. A renewed mind doesn't happen overnight. Neither does a stronghold in your mind. This is the goal of true spiritual warfare in our mind. It is a mind submitted to Christ, renewed by the word of God, sanctified, thinking the thoughts of God. It all begins with one thought. Do you know sanctification begins with one thought from God? God plants the thought through the written scriptures, then another thought, another sermon. You begin to study. You begin to pray over it. Do you know what you're doing? You're creating a stronghold. You can create a godly, Christ-centered, a mind enfolded in the simplicity of Christ. You know how you do that? You start with one simple thought. Thoughts are not innocent. You need to check them out. Secondly, every high thing, again in verse 5, every high thing. First of all, a thought, individual thoughts, every thought. Second of all, every high thing. It's talking about the mind again. The realm of thoughts in the mind. But this is the next stage. If you don't take thoughts captive, this is the next second stage. What is every high thing? The Greek means exalted place, elevated place, a high barrier or a defense, a rampart, a bulwark. In other words, this is growing out. This is going up. This is being built up, not just one thought anymore. Now you're dealing with high things. You have to look up. You're not scrutinizing them anymore. They're beginning to go above your head. Listen, it means towers of conceit. A bulwark is a very strong tower of defense in a warfare. This is not just one thought now. This is a group of thoughts that are built over a period of time. It could be a single thought of pride, arrogance, selfishness, lying. You just tell a lie and you excuse it. Either you're going to say, I don't want that in my heart and life, or it's going to build. It'll actually become a high thing where you go, lying is acceptable. Lust is acceptable. Being selfish is acceptable. You know, that's when individual thoughts start grouping together and they build a tower in your mind. Do you know you can have a high thing in your mind where a group of thoughts have begun to build a barrier up against you? So you don't like it, you want to move it. But you find it's become a stronghold, a place of defense, an attitude in your heart. Yes, proud thoughts do arise. Yes, sexual lust can come to the mind. But I tell you, you deal with it in the thought realm when it first comes, or else it begins to become a high thing. Pride is a terribly destructive thing. It says here, every high thing that exalteth itself. In other words, they're self-propagating. You ladies, when you bake, the flour begins to expand. That's what high things are. There is a nature within thoughts from Satan. They expand. They exalt themselves. They lift themselves up. They begin rising up in your thought realm. No longer thoughts flying through, but now they're getting lifted up. You better deal with that high thing. You better deal with that high place. Now is a time to deal with it. You can see it. It becomes obvious. Sometimes thoughts aren't obvious. High places are very obvious. They stick out. They become prominent. You cannot avoid them. Your eye naturally goes to them. I'm talking about things in your thinking, in your mind, the warfare for your mind that have now lifted themselves up. It says they exalt themselves against something. Now you're getting in a problem. This is thoughts beginning to build together and they begin to exalt themselves. If you don't come against them, they will come against something. What do they come against? They are in opposition, opposed. That's talking about an intense opposition. High things in your mind that are opposed to something. They are against something. They are in war against something. What are they in war against in your mind? The knowledge of God. Look at it. Read it for yourself. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. This is a way of thinking. What are high things? They're things that raise up in your thoughts and they are set against the mind of God. They're against the true knowledge of God. When you start to get a way of thinking and it's opposed, it's not neutral. It is actually against, it attacks the true knowledge of God. What is the knowledge of God? It is biblical thinking. It is what the Bible teaches. It is the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is true knowledge of God that creates humility, that makes you someone who listens, that teaches you to become a disciple, a learner of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when pride gets in the heart, you can't speak to that person. They know far better. You know now that you're dealing with a high thing in that person's life. And you know what? It exalts itself above and against the knowledge of God. It's pride then attacks humility. Sinfulness attacks holiness. There is a warfare going on here. Do you realize how important this is that Paul is raising up here in the Bible? First thoughts, deal with those thoughts or it becomes high places. Now you're going to have to fight this thing. Now you're in an intensive war. It's not just a floating thought. Now it's something that's beginning to grip and beginning to attack the knowledge of God in your thinking. Is the knowledge of God dominating your mind, or is it this other high place? Is it this proud, arrogant, willful, opposing system of thinking? You know, you can have this in the church as well. Certain teachings arise, certain ways of operating in the church. They are not according to the true knowledge of God, but they actually attack the true knowledge of God. I've seen this in the church all my days. There's a high place in that local church. You dare not touch it. It could be the idolatry of worship. Or it could be a loose thinking to sinful ways. Well, we believe in social drinking. There's nothing wrong with a glass of wine. Then why are you getting tipsy? Why are you taking two glasses and three glasses? Why are you sitting in places where you ought not to be? Do you know what? Now you have a high thing in the mind, in the thinking of that church, and it begins to attack the knowledge of God. It is opposed to what is right, and yet they think they're spiritual. What are we to do with these high things? How do we get rid of them? It says casting down. What it is doing to the knowledge of God in your mind, you better do that. Do you hear me this morning? Do you hear me? If this high thing, it will attack the knowledge of God in your thinking. You say, oh, but my heart's saved. I love Jesus Christ. Yes, but there's a high thing in that mind and it's opposed to God. It hates God. It doesn't believe the truth of God. You can't leave it there or it will go further. I promise you it will go further. Do you know what you have to do? You have to cast it down. You need to be in opposition to it. You need an intensity. What it is against the knowledge of God, you need to be against it. It's an enemy. It's not a friend. You say, it's not bothering me. Is it opposed to the knowledge of God? Then it is. You're deceived if you think it's not affecting you. It's affecting you in your walk with God. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to use force. Oh, I don't like doing that. Then you're in trouble. You're going to have to use force, violence. You're going to have to treat it like a criminal. It's broken into your home. It's trying to kill your wife. It's going to kill your children. It's going to murder everyone else in the house. You better get violent against it. It's not your friend. It's not harmless. It's very dangerous. It is opposed to the knowledge of God. It will destroy the true knowledge of God in your mind. You've literally got to, with violence, level it to the ground. You've got to pull down the tower, pull down the wall. You've got to remove it brick by brick by brick. You've got to use violence. You've got to cast down individual stones to the ground until the entire wall has been leveled. A lazy Christian will never do this. A sleeping Christian will never do this. But I assure you, if you don't, it goes somewhere. This can either go that way or that way. This process of four things. Either you're going from thoughts to strongholds, or you're going from strongholds back to thoughts and becoming sanctified. You can either have the devil using this in you or God using this. Do you know what? You can have a high thing that's of God, a high, strong tower of thinking in your mind. Third of all, imaginations. First of all, thoughts, then high things. Third of all, imaginations. This is the Greek word logosamos. Logosamos, where we get the word logic from. In other words, this third thing, it's in your mind. And it's a form of logical thinking. But it's not logical, it's not of God. It's taking you from thoughts to high things, and it's trying to take you to strongholds. What does the word imaginations mean here? It means arguments or speculations, rational thinking, or things that you say, I think it makes sense. Do you realize there's a whole way of thinking in your imagination? You're thinking it over. You're arguing with yourself. You're talking with yourself. You're speculating. You're saying, I'm using rational thought. I think that evolution could fit with creation. You're on very dangerous ground. You're destroying your mind. You say, but it's logical. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's in utter opposition to the person of Christ, the cross of Calvary, the written scriptures. It is utterly against everything. It's not logical. What you are is in you're in a warfare. The devil is lying to you. You see, you're beginning to take on thoughts, high things. Now they're imaginations. Now you're actually proud of your thinking. You actually think, I'm very wise. I'm deeper than other Christians. I'm going very far here. Or I'm escaping the bondage of Christianity. This word imaginations means reasonings. Or literally bottom line reasonings. A process of careful study. Oh, but brother, I studied this out. I know that it is true. But have you tested it with the Word of God? Have you gone to the Word of God with this? It is a process of reasoning, arriving at a final conclusion. And you go, there, I have the answer. It's the same word for computing. You put it through your computer. I Googled it. Isn't that what they do this generation? You try to tell them something, say, but I Googled. Oh, well, you're very smart then. Well, this is the process of imaginations. You've been computing, figuring out, speculating. Oh, I've read a lot of books. I've listened to a lot of preachers. I've calculated all the arguments. I now have a personal opinion. It's not a thought. It's not something that you want to talk through. You're now determined. You're settled. You've made a decision. It's now a conviction of your life. It dominates you. This is your value system. This is your view on that subject. These are how you make all of your decisions and all of your judgments. This is what you place your weight in, your trust in. In fact, your entire thought process now, this is where it goes and it affects your conduct. Why do you make the decisions you make? Because of your thought life. Why do you fellowship or have a relationship with the people you do? Because of where your thoughts have taken you. I'm talking about imaginations. This is a strong, settled place that you have come to. And you know what? It's very logical, very reason. It's got ideas, ideologies, theories, beliefs. This is your personal conviction and it will dominate your entire life. What do you do to imaginations? Can you be free of imaginations? You can go to war, saints. with your Bible. It doesn't matter where you've been affected by the devil, whether you've lost ground or as a new Christian, you want to be sanctified, where maybe as a backslider, you've been damaged. I want to tell you, you can pull down these imaginations. What does he say? Casting down. It's the same word as the previous word, casting down. You cast down high things. You also cast down imagination. They are stronger than high things. These are things that have engulfed you now. You know what? You can cast them down, but you've got to use force and violence. It is an enemy. It is against you. It'll destroy you. You've got to level it to the ground. Fourth and finally, strongholds. In verse 4, what is a stronghold? It begins with a thought. It moves to a high thing. It then moves to an imagination. And fourth and finally, it becomes strongholds. As what began with one thought finishes with a stronghold. What is a stronghold? It is an entire fortress. It is a castle. In fact, it is a castle with a deep prison at the heart of it. Underground. A stronghold is where you've got secret places deep within that castle that is almost impossible to reach. It is strong fortifications, a holdfast. It is a place of safety and security, and it's impregnable, or it seems impregnable, to any attack of the enemy. You can sit in there, like ancient Babylon that we looked at in the series on Daniel. That's why Belshazzar said, no man will come in this city. You know why? Babylon was a stronghold. Those walls, the moat around it, the height, the breadth, the depth, it was impregnable. That's why the kings of Babylon, they were proud and arrogant. They said, nobody can break this stronghold. You know, when a stronghold gets in your mind, you start thinking, it's impossible to change this. If you're here this morning and some area, yes, you love Jesus. Yes, you love him with all of your heart. Yes, you want to serve him. But there's some area of your Christian life, it has become a stronghold. You know what you're saying as I preach this morning, as I speak here this morning? Do you know what you're saying? That can never change. It's impossible. You don't even believe it can change. You actually think, oh yes, I'll do all of that. Yes, I'll pray. Yes, I'll go to the word. Yes, I'll quote the scripture. Yes, I'll ask other Christians to help me or to pray for me. But you actually, in your mind, believe it's utterly impossible. This stronghold, this certain something, and it's built out of individual thoughts that have now become a massive stronghold or fortress. It's a military post. And you know what? Those ancient strongholds of the enemy would use that stronghold to sabotage the whole area. You may not own the entire land, but through that stronghold, you could be in there as the enemy and you attack from it. You can attack in the middle of the night. You know what the devil does with a stronghold in your life? He wants to sabotage your walk with God, your prayer life, your faith, your security in Christ. It's a stronghold, and you actually can't even go near it. You tap on it with your little hammer, and you say, see, I knew nothing would happen. You're not violent. You don't hate that thing. You don't believe what the Word of God says. You see, this stronghold is a dominating thing. It controls you. Your mind, your brain controls you. Do you realize the thoughts of your mind, what you allow to build there, it will dominate what you say, you do, what you achieve, what you accomplish in your Christian life. A stronghold can cripple you, but a stronghold of the Word of God can set you free and become a means of God using you in the days ahead. You see, thoughts exalted above or beyond the written Word of God can lead to strongholds. What are we to do with strongholds? You're to pull them down. Notice the two previous things. You're to cast them down. And with thoughts, you're to take them captive at the point of a spear. Very easy to take one thought captive at the point of a spear. It's a bit harder with the next two things, to cast down brick by brick, to demolish. It's harder. But this fourth one, It's a different word. It says pulling down. You know what that means? It means a mass demolition or a mass destruction. Have you ever seen the builders bring an entire building down? An old factory, a big building. I mean, that entire thing has got to be demolished. This isn't removing brick by brick. It's not throwing down bricks in a process of trying to bring down a high thing or imagination or to break up arguments. Do you know what this is? You've got to utterly demolish it. The walls of it, the buildings, the gates, you've got to bring the whole thing down. You've got to tear it down. You've got to be opposed to it. You've got to utterly annihilate it. You need to dismantle this thing. You can't afford for anything to be left. Remember Jesus' prophecy about the temple in Jerusalem. He said, not one brick will be left upon another. That's what you need to do with strongholds. You said, oh, maybe I'll get rid of a brick. Maybe I can remove a section of it. Maybe I can take it back and just make it an imagination and it won't be a stronghold anymore. No, you've got to destroy it. You've got to annihilate it. There's got to be no place for it. You've got to so set yourself, say, I am going to destroy it by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me close here with my third and my final point. We looked at the warfare that we encounter. It was never our choice. Second of all, the warfare we wage. You've got to do this. And it's in your mind. Since the devil's number one attack is the mind. The mind. He comes to attack your mind. Most warfare, spiritual warfare, goes on in the mind. It is a fight for your mind. The devil knows if he can plant a thought or build a stronghold, he'll cripple your Christian life. We are at war. You better fight. We engage in this warfare. But third and finally, the victory we accomplish. Saints, hear me as I close, and I'm going to be very brief here, but hear me, it's so important. As I deal with this, you've got a battle waging in your mind. You see, Paul says, although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. As an apostle, a teacher, a preacher, he knew that his ministry was a warfare for the hearts and the minds of the church, for individual Christians. When he preached, he knew it's warfare. Do you know, I as a preacher know that I am embarking on spiritual warfare as I preach right now? Do you realize I was praying into this last night and this morning because I know I'm fighting for your minds here this morning. I am not walking in the flesh here this morning. I am warring a good warfare. I know what I'm doing as a preacher. I'm fighting for your mind. I'm preaching the word of God. I'm showing you a way out of captivity. The victory we accomplish. And I want to tell you as I close, you can accomplish a full victory. Don't tell me you can't do this and have the mind of Christ, a Christ-like mind, the thinking of the word of God that actually affects your choices, your relationships, your home, your work life, your church life, every area of your life. Don't tell me it's all a battle for your mind. If you win the battle for your mind, you will win a victory in every single area of your life. You want victories in your life? You're praying for it. I'm praying into this. Why not win the victory? Why not accomplish the victory in your thinking? And all of this will come to pass. Verse 4 as we close. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. They are spiritual. They are divine. They are of God. The word of God is given to us by God. The weapons of our warfare, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit is a weapon. It is a mighty weapon. Look at it. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you realize you have weapons that are mighty? The word mighty there is the Greek word dunatos, a bit similar to dunamis or dynamite. But this is dunatos. And the word mighty, it's saying your weapons are mighty. Listen to what it means. Powerful, capable, able. So important you hear this. Why is this so important? Because you don't think you're able. What I've just said here, someone listening to me this morning, It's saying, I actually don't think I'm able to do this. It's beyond me. I know. I know. But look, the weapons that you have, it's not you doing it. It's the weapons of your warfare are mighty. They are capable. They are able. You can't do this. But your weapons, you've got to have confidence in the weapons of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. They are capable of doing this. They are able to do this. In fact, listen to what the word actually means. Power that makes it possible. The weapons of our warfare are power that make it possible to take thoughts prisoner, to pull down, to demolish arguments. Do you realize there is power in these weapons? There is dynamic power to bring about victory. Saints, you've got to realize this morning. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not natural. They are spiritual. They are mighty. They have ability. They have power. They bring about the possibility that you can accomplish all of this. It's not in you. It's in the weapons of your warfare. You can, through these weapons, pull down strongholds, cast down imagination, to cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you can bring every thought into captivity. They're mighty through God. These are mighty, enabling weapons, but it's through God, saints, not in yourself. How do we accomplish this victory? Through God. Have faith in God this morning. Saints, let's go to war. As we close this meeting, make war on the thoughts of your mind. Say, I'm tired of that being in my mind. It's not the outward things you need to change. Oh no, that's the wrong place to start. Start with your own thoughts. You need to go to war. You need to be against these things. Through the Word of God, you need to identify them. You need to discern them. You need a separating of your thoughts. You need a revealing of the intents of your heart. And as there's a revealing of those thoughts, you need to attack them. You need to go to war. This is spiritual warfare. And as you go to war on the thoughts of your mind, you'll defeat Satan in your life. Do you want to defeat Satan in your life? Do you want to defeat Satan in your home? Do you want to defeat Satan in this church or in this city? Then begin with the thoughts of your mind. That's his front line of attack, but that's also our front line of attack. Saints, when we go to war against Satan, we're going to attack thoughts that originated in hell. Manners of thinking, ideologies, ideas, suggestions. You can't get free. Where did that thought come from? I don't believe. Who told you that? Saints, you need to begin to test the thoughts that have become dominating and have bound you and made you who you are. You need to begin to ask, did the devil tell me that? Did God tell me that? Did my family members tell me that? Did backslidden Christians tell me that? Or did a man of God tell me that? Let's pray together here as we close. Father, I thank you for the Word of God this morning. I thank you the Word of God is alive. It is living. Lord God, it lays hold of us. It speaks to us. It listens to us. It changes us. Lord God, the Word of God has the power to demolish every argument, every lie of hell. It is a light that shines into the darkness. Lord God, there's a power, a dynamic power through God. This sword of the Spirit is able to renew our minds, to change our thinking, to give us a victory over the devil, to expose every lie of the devil that we have been listening to. My God, help us again to renew our minds. Help us to rise up and win the victory, the battle for our own minds. Lord God, that we might see hell driven out of our homes, out of our churches, out of areas of our life. Lord God, give us a victory over thoughts and imaginations, over strongholds in our minds this morning. Lord God, we desire a stronghold of the simplicity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this church, we want a mind that is built out of thoughts and becomes a stronghold that literally empowers this church to walk in Christ-likeness this morning. In Jesus' name, praise God. God bless you this morning.